powerful text. So may only God's word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Lazarus lives. In the Gospel of John, there are seven miracles, that's all, of the thousands that Jesus performed. Interestingly, John calls them not miracles, but signs. The raising of Lazarus is the seventh and final one. It is the climactic and culminating miracle that Jesus does. John's purpose is clear in telling about this incredible event. Simply put, it is that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and believing in him, we may have eternal life. In this miracle, we see magnificently how the divinity and humanity of Jesus come together. So first, let's focus on Jesus' divinity, and later we'll get into the details of this text and see his humanity. It was an undeniable miracle, witnessed by many who spread the story to thousands of what they saw with their own eyes, eyewitnesses. And now it comes to us. And the question I asked is, do we believe this happened? This is a very important question, because if Jesus didn't really do this, then all that he said and all that he did, well, did it happen? Can we believe it? And vice versa, if he really didn't do this, if he really didn't raise Lazarus from the dead, then it makes us suspicious of anything he says or anything he did. We live in a culture that is engulfed in believing in the supernatural and fantasy. There are phony stories, fake miracles, fake healings, fake everything. I want to ask, could Satan be at work here? Could he be confusing us about reality? The result is to diminish the miracle of Jesus. You see, if you're ever deceived by someone or by something, then you're likely to be subject to becoming cynical. You wonder if any of it's true. And I think this is what Satan is doing. He's casting doubt on whether Jesus did any of these miracles. So on the other side, there are those who have made a god out of science, in essence saying the miracles of Jesus couldn't happen. And many of them conclude there really is no God. Science is a gift from God. It is thinking God's thoughts after him, as Thomas Kepler once said. I think that's the greatest definition for science. I am thankful and grateful that we have science. Science is a gift of God, and it flourishes in our country, and especially now with COVID-19, the coronavirus. I'm glad we have science, and I'm glad there are people working on treatments and vaccines and whatever we need to get through this. It's been a great blessing, but it's certainly not a God. There's only one God. That's the Father. That's Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Jesus did a miracle. He's divine. Now let's plunge into the details of this story. But I want you to ask yourself, did this really happen throughout my message? Did this really happen? Right from the start, we don't know much about Lazarus, but you know what his name meant? He whom God helps. Boy, would that be true in Lazarus' case. He had two sisters, Mary and Martha. Mary, as you heard, was the one who poured perfume all over Jesus and washed his feet with her hair. Lazarus was Jesus' friend. Jesus phileoed him. You see, in Greek, there are several words for love. Phileo is friendship love. Think about that. Lazarus was Jesus' friend. And Mary and Martha, it says, agape'd him. It's very close. Agape is the divine love, the self-sacrificing love. Let's just say that the scriptures clearly tell us that these were special people in Jesus' lives. They were his friends, and he loved them dearly. How like us. Jesus had a friend. Think about that. He had a friend. It's so important to have friends. I hope you have many of them, but I hope you also have some special friends. Most of us do. You know, if you don't have friends, you're probably going to be harming yourself and maybe harming others, right? We need friends. We need them badly. Now, think of this situation. Lazarus was Jesus' friend. Think about your best friend dying prematurely. How heartbreaking it would be. And this is exactly the emotion of Jesus, who was truly a man, who grieved like we would grieve if we lost our dearest friend. But hearing about Lazarus' sickness, it was very puzzling that Jesus, who had this power to heal, delayed in going there. I'm sure the disciples were puzzled. Why aren't we going right now? And Jesus said to them, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." I'm sure they didn't understand, but they followed Jesus because they believed in him. On Jesus' arrival finally into Bethany, which is a small town, for those of you who've been to Israel, you know where Bethany is, and it's very close to Jerusalem, 2 miles away. Back then, it's even closer now, right? Greater Jerusalem. He was confronted first by Martha. Martha said, "If you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." Jesus says matter-of-factly to her, "Your brother will rise again." But Martha replies, "I know he's going to rise again on the last day, at the resurrection." And then Jesus says one of the most important verses in the whole Bible. And he doesn't just speak it to Martha. He's speaking it to all of us. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And he who lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? It was said to Martha, but it's really said to all. Do you believe this? And Martha answers, and I hope we answer that same way, "Yes, I do believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, and that God sent you into the world." Jesus said, "I'm the bread of life," and then he fed 5,000. Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world," and then he healed a blind man. Jesus said, "I'm the resurrection and the life," and then he raised a dead man. Mary, too, would confront Jesus, pretty much saying the same thing. "If you had been here, our brother would be alive." You know, Jesus' reaction to these two is totally different. With Martha, he gives her the truth. "I am the resurrection and the life." With Mary, he gives her sympathy and eventually tears. Christianity is like this. We need both truth and tears. The truth is Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. He has power over death. We need that truth. Martha needed that truth. Mary needed to hear compassion and love and tears. We're really both kinds of people, aren't we? Christianity that just has truth, this is the truth, and no tears, is soulless. It's the kind of truth maybe that would tell people, "Stop crying at a funeral. We know he's going to be with the Lord." Well, that's not Christianity. That's not the love and sympathy we show to people. But then the Christianity that just has tears is really hopeless because we just comfort people and not believe and know the truth that they're in the arms of God. Jesus saw the many weeping when he came with Mary, and he was deeply moved, and the word suggests a deep emotion, perhaps with an involuntary groan coming from his heart. Actually, some say it was like the snorting of a horse, and it indicated anger on Jesus' part. Who was he angry at? Was he angry at those people crying? No, he was not. Jesus was angry at death. Death wasn't supposed to be a part of God's creation. Jesus hated death. We hate death. God hates death. And he means to reverse it in time. But death was caused by sin, and it's ugly, ugly. So Jesus comes to the grave. And then that comes that immortal verse that joins him with all humanity. Jesus wept. You know, I graduated from seminary 41 years ago. Seems like a long time, doesn't it? It seems not so long to me. And there was a custom, I don't even remember if we had that custom then, to have a biblical verse for the class of, in my case, 1979. So I thought, what a great verse for our class. Jesus wept, knowing what kind of pastors he was sending out. Again, this shows Jesus' humanity, Jesus crying. Once more, he was deeply moved. He comes to the entrance of the grave. He says, "Take the stone away." But Martha declared, "He's been dead for 4 days. There's going to be a bad odor." Or as one version puts it less eloquently, "He stinketh." Jesus declares, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And then Jesus prayed to the Father, "Father, thank you for hearing me. I know you always hear me, but I'm saying this for the people gathered here together, that they may realize that you sent me." Then in a loud voice, he said, "Lazarus, come out!" Oh, I wish I would have been there. I wish I could have seen that. Blessed are those people who actually saw that. Now, can you imagine the shock, the surprise, and then the overwhelming joy to see that Lazarus was alive? It must have been a little bit creepy because he came out and he was in his grave clothes. He was all locked up and embalmed in a sense. Not embalmed so much as just wrapped in these grave clothes. Oh, I wish I could have seen this. In a still popular William Barclay Daily Bible study, it's a really great commentary, but he writes in this scene about what happened here. He writes this: "It does not really matter whether or not Jesus literally raised a corpse to life in 30 AD, but it matters intensely that Jesus is the resurrection and the life for every man who is dead in sin and dead to God today." I'm going to use an old word for this: hogwash. This is horribly, horribly wrong. And in an otherwise very good commentary on the scriptures, especially the New Testament, I can't believe he wrote this. What was he thinking? Really wasn't of the Spirit of God in this case. Because if this event in the Bible is not factually true, then what is true? Did Jesus himself really rise from the dead? I believe he did. You see, the Bible is about reality, about truth, about eyewitnesses. Yes, Lazarus raised from the dead because of Jesus and his command. And yes, Lazarus would die again. And yes, Lazarus would be raised again to eternal life. This is the truth, and it's a truth that we can hang on to in our lives and believe it. Did this really happen? Yes, it did. It's a fact. The Bible deals in facts. Jesus' public ministry would come to an end now. Actually, the raising of Lazarus really brought all the enemies of Jesus together. They knew they had to put him to death. This was the final monumental miracle and sign and testimony that Jesus was sent from God. And now his enemies which coalesced together, they actually wanted to put Lazarus to death for this as well. The enemies, the people eventually of Israel and the leadership of Israel would reject this miracle and would say that it really didn't happen, or at least not the way the eyewitnesses saw it. But we mustn't reject this miracle, this sign, this testimony of Jesus. It comes to us for this very reason, that we might believe it. We need to answer like Martha. Yes, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who's come into the world. I believe it. I hope you do. I've picked three more lessons or applications from this true account. There are obviously a lot more lessons. This is a long gospel selection. But here are three more. First, the fact is we need saving. We have a rendezvous with death. I don't care what you do, what vitamins you take, how you exercise, what foods you eat, you're going to die. Unless Jesus comes again, you're going to die. In fact, if you don't believe in Jesus right now, you are dead in your sins. Because our sins bind us like the grave clothes of Lazarus. And only Jesus can set us free. Only Jesus can raise us from the dead. Believe on him. You need saving. Everyone in the world needs saving. Number two, Jesus has power over death. You know, there was a country preacher who commented when Jesus said in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." If he had not limited it to Lazarus, then everybody in the graveyard would have arisen. That would have been a scene, wouldn't it? Right? The fear of death, the decline of our bodies. Some of us are older. We're seeing things happen to us. We're in decline, right? Can stalk us, can terrorize us, can cause us great fear. But our faith in Jesus intercedes. Maybe you've seen some older Christians, and they're vibrant because the Spirit of the Lord lives in them. And they face the fear of their own declining bodies and the illnesses and the arthritis and all the kinds of things that can happen to us. And they defeat that fear. You know, what Jesus really did is, by his promise, "I will bring you through death." In a sense, he will cancel it. And he will make it nothing more than just falling asleep. I hope you take comfort in this. When fear creeps up in your life, think about Jesus. Think of his promises. Think of his words, "I will never leave you or forsake you." We can have peace. He'll bring it through it. All the things that come because of illness, because of our rendezvous with death, we can take strength in the Lord. And ultimately, what I've seen about people, if they have faith in the Lord as they grow older and they grow sicker and everything, they come to realize more and more they're not in control of their life, but they are in the arms of Jesus. And because they're in the arms of Jesus, they have this peace. That, as I say at most of the end of my sermons, that passes all understanding to people who don't have that peace. Thirdly and finally, Jesus tells us about everlasting life of heaven, a place where there is no death, no tears, no pain. It's going to be a paradise. I wish we had more details about what heaven is like. And we only have a few details. We really don't know the contour of it. But I believe in it. I hope you do. Believe in heaven like you believe everything that Jesus said and did and taught us about. Plant the promise of heaven in your mind and in your heart. And never let the vision of heaven depart from you. You know, a good exercise might be to try to think of heaven every day in your life. Think of what peace that would bring you. It's real. Do you believe this happened? Do you believe that Lazarus was raised from the dead? I hope you do, because it did happen. It's a fact. It is a sign to us that Jesus will defeat death, that there is a heaven, that you needn't fear. Oh, we will fear. We do have fears. They'll come upon us. But let your faith intersect with your fear and pray to the Lord. Remember what Jesus said. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has already crossed over from death to life. Already crossed over from death to life. Lazarus lives, and you will too, when you believe in Jesus the Savior, our Lord. To his glory, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, now and always. Amen.